Hello, and welcome to the Learning Made podcast, where we speak to subject matter experts in the fields of education, education technology, and workforce development to learn more about advances and issues in the industry from cradle to career. I am your host, Shannon Gattins. Today's guest is Dr. Laura Catherine Neal, National Dean of Colleges and Curriculum at DeVry University. With over 20 years of experience spanning between healthcare leadership and higher education, she brings a unique blend of academic and operational expertise. Before joining DeVry full-time in 2022, she held leadership roles in both academia and healthcare, including serving as CFO and COO. At DeVry, she oversees curriculum development, assessment, and accreditation for healthcare programs. Dr. Neal holds advanced degrees in management, business, and public health, and is a published author and active contributor to academic research. Welcome, Dr. Neal.
Thanks, Shannon. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Great. In this episode, we're going to talk to you about how AI is shaping the future of nursing education, from current applications to ethical considerations. So let's dig in and talk about how you ended up at DeVry University and what brought you to this point in your career.
As many really interesting, good jobs happen, it's unplanned. And I was currently in a role that I was happy with and I was enjoying in a face-to-face campus environment, and was approached by their talent and acquisition department to consider coming on board and taking on the reins of their College of Health Sciences and the large student population that they have. They're both a very large national online footprint as well as an international footprint. And I was up for the challenge and excited to be able to see how leveraging more of technology and having the opportunity to kind of steer your own ship, if you will, that was very attractive to me. So I said, yeah, why not? And I've been here, just celebrated my third year in this current role and have absolutely enjoyed the journey so far.
That's great. Well, happy anniversary. It says a lot when you stick it out, and challenges in new jobs are always really motivational. And I understand that you have a particular interest in AI. So tell me about that. What sparked that interest?
I think part of it is just I'm curious by nature. The other part of that is I'm forever student. I've been up and down the academic ladder, if you will, 2 bachelor's, 2 master's, a doctorate, like a handful of graduate certificates. And I'm always learning. And AI has fascinated me because I've always looked for ways throughout my entire educational and healthcare career, look for ways to do things smarter and not harder. And I'm big on process improvement, continuous improvement. And I found that just dabbling a little bit in ChatGPT when it became all the rage and it's all anybody could talk about was really fascinating to me. And I don't profess to be an expert in anything, but I will say that I have become very proficient, if you will, in leveraging AI and AI tools in my daily work, in my daily life, and then also have spent the last, I would say, 2 years, if you will, on the road virtually and in person, guest speaking and lecturing and managing panels and different kinds of things all around how we're using AI in healthcare, and then have really made it a focus in the last 18 months to look at how can we bring AI effectively into higher education in a virtual environment. More and more of our students need the flexibility of being online, specifically our nursing students who are working and you know, trying to get their BSN and those kind of things. And I have found that this is a really good intersection to be in at this point.
I love that you said that. And you said work smarter, not harder. And there's another saying, use your brains, not your brawn. And I think that it's very similar. You know, besides being this Learning Mate podcast host, which I absolutely love, I also run our content team. And for a long time, earlier in my career, nursing had been a focus of mine. Somehow I just fell into nursing content development. And I'm watching currently how we are navigating AI in nursing content development, the percentage of human intervention that's required and things like that. It's interesting to get your perspective from the university. When we talk about AI in nursing, what does that mean to you specifically? And do you have like a few examples of how you've been talking about it?
The opportunities we have within nursing education specifically when it comes to AI. And while I'm not currently over a nursing program in my existing role, I am an adjunct instructor at several institutions, teaching over nursing students. And I, in my previous two roles, I was over nursing programs. So, and my sister's a nurse. So I'm like surrounded by nursing all the time. And I would say, you know, one of the biggest advantages we have is in, you know, AI enhanced simulation scenarios, right? That's a really big, huge thing. And we already do simulation as a component of part of nursing education, right? For clinical hours. And post COVID, I think we found some good synergy between being able to do things more in a simulated base in a more realistic manner, leveraging the technology that's out there. And so AI enhanced scenarios are more realistic. You can tailor them to individual student learning needs, which is huge in higher education because not everyone learns the same way or in the same pace. So you get beyond the traditional high fidelity mannequins, which are great, but expensive and difficult to maintain, especially if somebody makes a mistake that impacts the simulation mannequin. And AI enhanced robotics can also kind of make things a little bit more realistic because we know that we're seeing robotics in our real field. So you've got the personalized learning opportunities, you've got personalized tutoring, which is tremendous, right? There's no way possible for any educator to be in the classroom 24/7, whether you're face-to-face in a clinical as a preceptor, or even just in an online instructor. And having tutoring available to kind of augment that nursing education capacity is significant also to support specialized learning needs. And I would say probably the last thing that's really important related to this is really improving that training effectiveness. Virtual reality is a thing, right? Everybody's got the Google goggles and they got all these kind of things, right? These cool applications that we can use as we become more and more tech savvy as a culture. But I think the specific piece where we can get to those difficult to reach clinical environments, you can explore social determinants of health in a very non-threatening way. You can, in non-intimidating way, you can get into certain surgical situations. You can get into OBGYN without physically being in there, right? So there's opportunities there that are really huge. So creating AI-powered adaptive learning platforms really can achieve those higher clinical reasoning scores that we're looking for when it comes to testing, but it also augments traditional teaching methods. So I think, again, another one of those perfect intersections of like, we're on the cusp of just the next level of what education is going to be in the nursing field.
I appreciate that insight. You know, when we're talking here at LearningMate, especially we're talking about having practice-ready nurses, aligning with competency-based, you know, we're looking at a lot of content and aligning it with the essentials in order to create those experiences so that when they graduate, they are practice ready. And there's so much variability that this is actually a more accessible way to help nurses prepare for their clinical time. So
absolutely. You're talking about essential skills, right? There's more to nursing than just understanding that this is diabetes and these are the symptoms, right? When we're talking about how we have this intersection between essential skills that are needed professionally and technical, and then we're looking at judgment skills, you know, this is a great way we can do that. We teach students on a regular basis how to conduct literature reviews, and we talk about how to use clinical trials. We talk about doing these things, but leveraging generative AI as a component of that expands their research, leverages their time in the right way. Instead of spending hours trying to find things, generative AI can give them opportunities, give them quick responses for research pieces and allows them to get in there and do some of that deeper work without spending so much time researching. I'm old school. I came from card catalog, Dewey Decimal, note cards, front, back.
Yep, me too.
Like I'm that old, but I've evolved. I would say I've evolved, right? And to where we're looking at informatics competencies, we're looking at digital data literacy now as expected work in these clinical settings. And so being comfortable as a student nurse or as a working practicing nurse, you know, elevating your education, using AI tools is a great way to do that. But you have to understand what are the limitations. You have to leverage that critical thinking. That reinforces what we look for clinical judgment, right? Effective use of AI-based patient support tools. They're important. They automate some nursing functions like diagnostics and fall predictions and decision trees. It can help structure that, but it cannot replace your ability to work in a clinical decision support system in a way that suggests appropriate action based upon what you know as a human within your human capacity. So while it's a great tool and it helps us with technical competencies, helps us get over the hurdle in certain ways, especially if we have learning challenges or just learn differently, it helps us, everyone, have, I feel like, almost a base layer foundation of exposure to really elevate those clinical decision-making skills, those judgment skills, as well as writing correctly, because, you know, charting is important. But it brings it to a new level that we have, I think, was a disconnect in current traditional teaching models, which I think is going to be the benefit of the future of not just nurses who go through education, you know, now forward, but also as patients who are the receivers of their care.
You noted earlier about how providing learning experiences using AI, whether they're virtual labs or things like that. How are you empowering, whether it's in your own teaching experience or with DeVry, how are you empowering students to understand the use of AI, how they can utilize it, create good prompts to get the output that they are looking for, applying the information that they're getting? Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, practice makes perfect. Isn't that what we say?
Mm-hmm.
There's another expression. I have a friend here at DeVry, and she uses the expression, is the juice worth the squeeze, on a regular basis. And so when we're looking at designing pieces in curriculum that are leveraging components of AI, we want to make sure the juice is worth the squeeze. We want to make sure that what we're asking them to do is replicatable. It can be built upon, scaffolded throughout their entire learning journey, but then also make sense that they would really do this in the real world, right? What's the point of learning a skill if you're never going to use it? When was the last time any of us used algebra or geometry unless we're in specific fields, right? And so when we look at curriculum from this perspective, you know, I would say that DeVry is probably on the cutting edge in terms of how we leverage AI in the classroom. We have tutor bots. We have a lot of different functionality within our courses. Mm-hmm. But from a curriculum developer standpoint, what I look for from my developers, and I kind of hold them accountable to, is not only just build appropriate exercises for the students to learn how to prompt, learn how to walk through the stages, how to critically have a conversation through mm-hmm. whichever chat is their preference. We allow the students to use GPT. We allow them to use Gemini. We allow them to use Claude. We give them flexibility in that, but they have to provide us, you know, share out their prompting conversation. But the other side of that is the ethical component, right? We talk a lot in healthcare about ethical components, ethical decision-making, ethical use, you know, sustainability, those kind of things. Doing AI, and I'm saying doing it because it's not a choice anymore. It's now part of what we do. Mm-hmm. Doing AI ethically is as important as understanding how to do it in the first place, because we want to make sure that we're following the appropriate ways of doing it in a way that's going to not put your patient at risk, not put yourself at risk as a nurse, not put your administration at risk, your organization at risk. And that's really as critical as, you know, figuring out, how do I ask ChatGPT to do X?
So you talked about critical thinking, which I think is obviously ultimately important as we're shifting from the doing to the prompting. But what other skills do you think that today's nursing students need in order to work effectively with AI, both in their student practice, but in their clinical practice once they graduate?
I think understanding that AI is perfect. One, there's a, you know, the running joke is, oh, there's hallucinations, this, that, and the other. Yeah, sure there is. With anything that you do, I can hallucinate on what I'm looking at some data right now, I'm thinking it's saying this, and somebody else can look at it and says it's saying something else. I think understanding that bias and equity is a component, we can't look the other way. We have to make sure that we understand that these systems, because they're perpetually learning, they're learning from everywhere. Right? It's not always a guarantee that it's going to be from a peer-reviewed journal and it's going to be from Dr. XYZ and this expert, right? It's going to be like, you know, from my next door neighbor who, you know, just likes to go off the cuff and lives in Wikipedia, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that we understand and we train them well to be able to discern that bias that can be inherently in the systems. We want to make sure that they're looking at it from an equity standpoint. I'm not talking just about, you know, social determinants of health and that. I'm talking access to care. I'm talking about treatment plans. I'm talking about the whole gamut of the unique things that we deal with in nursing and in healthcare in general, but also making sure that there's a larger scope to what happens when we use these generative AI components, right? Of any facet. There's a privacy component. There's a confidentiality component. HIPAA, you know, the overarching 100-pound gorilla in every room, right, in healthcare. But from these perspectives, it's also having a level of discernment that we've now asked, not just from a practical standpoint, but from a technical standpoint, that all nurses have to now cross over. There's a threshold there that there's now a higher level expectation. It's not this, don't forget, you can't take a picture of yourself with the patient and your ID badge and put it on social media, right? It's now, when you're going and researching things and you're trying to do things in support of your patient, don't put too much PHI in there to where it's easily identified that this is your patient, right? So it's grown in a larger scope of responsibility, if you will, that I think we didn't really anticipate those as ripple effects, but as those of us like yourself in higher education who are helping set the right foot forward with these students and these nursing candidates, we have an obligation to make sure that we're doing it well to help them be prepared.
And so what are the ethical bumpers, as it were? So who's the accountability being held? Is it the institution that is graduating these students? Is it the nurse candidate themselves? Is it the clinical situation that they enter into? How are we monitoring that kind of ethical consideration and responsible use of AI in nursing?
Well, that is a big 50,000, you know, dollar question, because I think, not to get too political in the environment, but some of it depends on where you live, right? Mm-hmm. There's state and local agency expectations. There's your institution, your healthcare institution that you work for's expectations. There's the higher education institution's expectations, and everyone is still navigating their way, right? There's also the legal components. Like there's cases in the news right now where somebody won a contest, a photography contest, and got this huge prize, and then discovered that the whole thing was AI generated. And now where do we land? And copyright and patents and all these things, like the door is now really wide open in terms of what does all this mean? And yet we're not even barely out of the doorway yet in terms of what are the guardrails and the repercussions. We're scared. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of panic. Like, what do we do? How do we do? What should we do? Should we not? And each institution has to kind of figure their own measure. So in the higher education space, many of us have started putting in, you know, ethical use and AI, generative AI policies from a student perspective, what the students can and can't do in a classroom. We're now putting them in place for what faculty can and can't do. How can faculty use it in the classroom, right? You see that there's a new case that's out with Northwestern where a student is suing. I think it's Northwestern where a student is suing because they think their whole course was taught by AI and they paid all this tuition and they want their money back, yep. Right? That is going to be one of many, I anticipate, in the future. Part of that is handled by transparency. You have to be upfront about where you're using AI. And then, you know, from the next step is, what about from curriculum development? How do you know I'm the one who generated this content?
That's and not right.
Tool, right? And so we see this not only from the education space, where does the transparency have to be in and how we're using it, but think about it from an employer's perspective. In healthcare right now, there's AI everywhere. And a lot of times as the end user patient, we don't know it, right? There's AI in your appointment setting routine. If you're going online to book an appointment, you're searching for an appointment, there's AI involved in that. The reading of your x-rays, there's AI involved in that. The coding of your disc, there's so many areas that AI is being used for. And how much transparency is being given to the patient that AI was involved in your patient care today or the transactions today? So the sky is the limit in terms of where we need to go. And we're barely even comfortable with saying AI is part of our life. And yet we use it all the time. Like Siri is AI. And yep. Siri's been for a little bit of a minute.
That's right. That's right. Well, it's funny that you say that. You know, I have a friend who just wrote his graduation speeches for his middle school students. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I heard it, I thought, that's ChatGPT. And it's interesting that we're starting to learn the output, learn what the expectation is. And that leads me to my next question. You have students coming in at various levels, continuing ed, right from high school, you know, they're all over the place. I'm just curious, what are the students and faculty saying? How are they responding to AI? Are you getting, like, people are scared, people are excited? How is the population responding?
I think it depends on what level of transparency you give it to, right? So it's a twofold question. I think that's part of it. And the other part is just having the conversation. So the transparency piece is really interesting because, for example, in one course that I've taught recently, I leveraged an application that basically took the PowerPoints that I normally would have taught in class, and I turned it into a podcast. I love this podcast feature. It's one of my favorite apps. And I put it out there for the students and said, listen, this is an AI generated podcast off of, I was very transparent, it's all over the announcements in the classroom. that's based off of my PowerPoint presentations I present in class. So if you are on the go and you want to make sure you've got opportunities, everybody loves small bites. Podcasts are a great small bite, right? And so I've done that. And then there's other aspects where you're upfront with the student about, you know what, we're going to use an AI generated grader. There's an auto grader involved. It's going to give recommendations, but your grade and your actual formal finalized feedback, especially on summative assignments where it's a big ticket item for your grade, is going to be done by me. So there's that transparency factor. Now, the other part of your question is the generational ages that happen. Education, right? So we have students that are coming straight out of high school, went into CNA and are going up through the route, right? Or you've got nurses who have been nurses for 25 years, but they want to get promoted. So now they're coming back to get their BSN. We've got everybody in between and everyone responds differently. And a lot of times it has to do with their level of comfort with the technology itself. You can have students that are they're still using flip phones. Like texting is like, they don't want to text. They just want to talk on the phone. Right. And then you've got others just like, don't talk to me ever. Just text me. I don't want to communicate in that way. Like, let's have a hands-off communication. And so finding the happy medium has to do with knowing your audience, number one.
Yeah.
And then going back to something I said a few minutes ago, we were talking about the AI simulation and adaptability to student learning needs. You have to create the environment to where they can all be successful regardless of where they are in the span. And this is something that is new, if you will. It's not new in terms of knowing we need to do it. It's new in terms of having some new additional tools to do it better with a larger scope than what we'd be able to do before.
That's an interesting question too, because I think that there are questions in every field. How is this going to replace me? Will this replace me? And in what ways do you think that's possible? And I know that we're only talking theoretically because we have no idea really at this moment. I mean, there's just only some conjecture. And then do you see that there is fear in folks around the fact that they might become obsolete?
Sure. There's that augmentation versus replacement conversation.
Exactly.
So AI systems can kind of manage the data analysis, the administrative tasks, which can enable nurses to focus more on that patient-centered care if they embrace it. AI-based automation of those routine tasks also lead to measurable reduction in nurse burnout and improved satisfaction, job satisfaction. That's huge for me. But you also have to balance it out, right? Nurses can become also overly dependent on AI recommendations, risking their clinical judgment and decision-making skills. I would like kind of reduce it to the point where maybe they're over-reliant on it and then they're like unable to move forward because it's not an assist, right? Or those over-reliances can undermine that development of really, really important bedside things related to interpersonal and empathy-driven skills.
Yes, that makes complete sense. And I think that those are irreplaceable. And it'll be interesting to see how curriculum evolves to support the students as they move through. I mean, we're only really at the very beginning, even though you mentioned Siri. I think as far as AI applications in curriculum and student outputs, we're really just at the beginning. So I feel like we need to talk a year from now to see where we are compared to even 6 months. I think things are changing so rapidly. One last question I have for you. So for educators and institutions that might just be starting to explore AI, like, what advice would you give? And then on a personal note, what excites you most about the future of AI in nursing and in general?
Sure. So I would say, if you're just getting off the curb, if you will, implementation advice, one thing we need to remember is that really strong nursing leadership really needs to incentivize and encourage our nursing educators to embrace curriculum reform and these new pedagogies related to embracing AI. There's still a resistance factor, even in the education space, to even want to bring these things into play, right? But it's here, and it's not. It's like HIPAA. It didn't go away, right? And you know, so this is where we are. So you want to start simple, right? You want to start with AI literacy frameworks. You want to start with ethical guidelines. You want to talk about the acceptable use of just even AI in your syllabus generation, right? Arranging from what's prohibited to what's permissible. I did attend a lecture a couple of months ago, and one of the sister institutions in higher education, they use a red light, green light kind of philosophy. So on every assignment they have, this is a red light, you cannot use any AI applications at all. This is a yellow, you can with these constraints, or green, go for it. Do whatever
okay. you
And I really like that analogy, because I kind of now have that ingrained in my head of like, what do I want the students to say? And I don't necessarily use that terminology or that vision, but I do say, here's the constraints. Now, to the other part, you can tell from my voice and my modulation, I'm very excited about this, because there's so much engaged opportunity available for us. From a practicality standpoint, having AI-driven communication assistance can help nurses be more effective with their patients. From a post-care perspective, which is huge for me. Those post-care instructions, none of us really can navigate them well, and then we forget what we're supposed to do, and the nurse says one thing, but the piece of paper says something else, and how do we bring those together, right? Really facilitating more personalized education on disease management, I think, is a golden opportunity. And nurses play a very strong role in the support of that, because let's be honest, while we have a small interaction with the doctor, most of our engagement's with that nurse. And that
100%.
The person who is like going to get you over the football line, right? The other part of that is just really addressing kind of a painful thing that we experience even here in Florida, which is nursing shortages.
Yes.
How do we leverage that so then we can really maintain human-centered care? Let's do some of these automated tasks that burn the nurses out, that cause the excessive workload, cause the late hours, cause the short shifts. You know, let's look at not just process improvement, but let's talk about people improvement. How do we improve that environment? And to me, I feel like those are two areas that we can really do good work in the next 18 months, right? Managing that post-care when it comes to disease management, and managing ways for nurses to work better, to work smarter, not as hard, and really retain that good quality nursing core that we really need for our healthcare systems to function.
I really appreciate that insight. And I will just say, I did another podcast with a gentleman out of APUS. Not around nursing and healthcare, but just talking about the tools that are available to us and thinking about the nurses who had to write by hand all of their charts and the move from handwritten charts to electronic records. And it was scary. And how are we tracking? And what are we doing? And people had to be trained. And so, and how, what are the ethical concerns? And is this living, you know, somewhere electronically? And it feels like we're at another turning point, exactly as you said, to create efficiency, to reduce nurse burnout, plus all the other ways that these students can be prepared before they even leave the university. So if you have any parting words or any words of advice you'd like to give before we sign off.
Sure. There's many of you out there who've read the book, The Tipping Point, but I think we're by Malcolm Gladwell, right? But we're at another tipping point, as you said. And the tipping point now is that AI is not going to go away. It's more of, right? And so we need to embrace what that is, but we need to embrace it in ways that we can manage it at an individual level. Not everyone's going to be on the same road. Not everybody's going to be at the same pace. And so embracing and accepting that, which we have that in a lot of different areas of life, but when it comes to AI specifically, and when it comes to nursing, we need to be accepting that it's coming. We also need to be patient along the way. I tend to be impatient when it comes to things. If I learn a new tool, I want to put it into play right away. And then there's red tape and restrictions and all kinds of stuff that goes in the way. And so then I get frustrated. And so let's be mindful of that as we go through this, and embrace the fact that it's coming, but also embrace that we need to support our nurses through these changes. EHR and EMR systems was huge for them, right?
Exactly.
Now we need to help them have the confidence that they can trust what's happening with the AI interfaces that are now engaging in their systems. And when they're already there, we need to be transparent, because a lot of times many of our nurses and our physicians and all of our patient-facing caregivers don't know that things that they're using have AI components in them. And so we need to be upfront about it, because I think they would be pleasantly surprised about how much AI they actually use on a regular basis, but they weren't aware that it was an AI application or a tool.
Well, Dr. Neal, it was a pleasure talking to you. I think your insight was enormously specific. We talk about AI so much, and talking about nursing specifically and how it's affecting healthcare is a different angle that I don't think a lot of people consider. So I appreciate your expertise. I really hope that you'll take me up on 6 months to a year. I would love to come back and chat again and see where we are and get some more of your perspective.
Absolutely. I would love to do that. Thank you.
Great. Thanks so much.